I normally use the head mic, but I'm concerned that I'll cough this morning, and then your eardrums will be burst, and then you'll be sick with me, and one person sick is enough. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Revelation, and I'm going back to a scripture because I really believe that God wants to speak it into our hearts. And so it's Revelation 2 and verse 7. Revelation 2 and verse 7. And it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." This morning I want to speak about how do we hear God? How do we hear God? Have you ever heard God? I want to ask you this morning, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, "I know, I've never really heard God." And you know what? Every one of us, when we made that decision to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we need to come into a place where we are hearing God. And I've been so busy of late, I actually felt this morning as I was getting out of bed, I felt God say to me, "Well, you've had a chance to hear me this week." And I've been really sick this week. And so I've been laying in bed thinking about things. And I believe I have heard God on a few things. I'm not preaching on them. They're personal things. But this morning, if we are unable to hear God, we will be unable to be obedient to what His Word and His Spirit says to us. So that hearing God is the faculty of perceiving with the mind and understanding and knowing. So we hear sometimes with our spiritual ear, and we need to bring that, we need to interpret that into our minds that we are able to understand and know what God is saying to us. So if you got your Bibles, or if you haven't, you can look it up here. How do we hear God? Psalm 16 and verse 6, one of my favorite scriptures, together with the next one that I'm going to read. It says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." And then the next scripture, Psalms 18 and verse 19, "He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because He's delighted in me." With those two scriptures, I want to say today, speaking of the will of God, His purposes and plans for our life, they are spacious, first of all, and we have boundary lines that He's put in place. So often, as Christians, we believe that the will of God is a tightrope, and we have to walk exactly on the tightrope. And if we step to the left or to the right, we'll lose our salvation. I don't believe that. Looking at these two scriptures, I believe that the will of God is a spacious place. God has given us an inheritance. His will is our inheritance, and we have such a wonderful inheritance. But He has put boundary lines in place. This is where we get it wrong. We get so used to enjoying the spacious places that we actually step over the boundary lines that God has put in place for us. And that's when we get ourselves into trouble. A lot of born-again believers believe that if they step over the line, they will get a second chance. They'll get the opportunity to make right and walk with God again. Folks, I'm not going to go to the scriptures, but Moses and Saul did not get a second chance. Moses lost his inheritance because he hit the rock. Saul lost his inheritance, which was the nation of Israel, because he did a sacrifice that he was supposed to wait for Samuel to. And both of those, if you go and read them, and in Numbers 20:12 and 1 Samuel 13. Both of those times that these people blew it, it was because of unbelief. Moses struck the rock because of unbelief. Saul did the sacrifice because he lacked faith that the Philistines would not wait until Samuel arrived. So one of the boundary lines in our life is unbelief. When we step over that boundary line, we find ourselves in a place where we are not secure. I wonder if you're sitting here this morning and you're starting to think, and maybe there are areas in your life where you have unbelief. Maybe you're sitting here and you're trusting God for a job. But in your heart, you don't have the faith for that thing. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and I'm just doing things off the top of my head. Your marriage is not in the place that you would like it to be. And these things are causing you to step over the boundary line. They're taking what God has given you as a spacious place, and they're causing you to step over that boundary line. These boundary lines are different for different people. Who knows that my weaknesses are not your weaknesses, and your weaknesses are not mine? Ever since I came to Cape Town, I found that alcohol can be a weakness. We never had this weakness up in Gauteng. We never had people that struggled with drinking alcohol. You're allowed to drink, by the way, but not overindulge in alcohol. And so we find people on the edge. You know, how much is too much? I want to say to you, if you sitting here this morning and you ask the question, how much is too much? I want to say to you that any is too much. As soon as you find yourself in that place of how much can I partake and stay okay with God? Because you see, then your faith is not there. And if your faith is not there, you're in a place of sin. So I'm not saying you can't drink a glass of wine, a beer. For me, the word says, be filled with the Spirit. But folk, if you find yourself saying, is this too much? Can I have another one? We need to be careful. Then we need to go before God, and actually we need to repent. And say, Lord, you know, people come and ask me questions about their lives. They come and they say, what do I think about this happening? And honestly, if God is not telling them, how am I going to help them? I can't give you those answers. I'm not God. I can put the good and the bad in front of you and pray that God will reveal to you what is the right thing to do, but I can't make that decision for you. That's your decision to make. Another boundary line that we find ourselves stepping over is in the area of gossip. When we talk about other people. And you know, people say, oh, but that wasn't gossip. It was just because we wanted to pray for them. We had to tell them. Like, you need to know if it's gossip or not gossip. And you'll know in your heart. You will have a check from the Holy Spirit saying to you, this is not right. You'll feel wrong about it. Or you'll walk away feeling wrong about it. I want to say to you, if you do that, immediately go back to that person and say, listen, I'm sorry. That I've just shared with you is gossip. Because anything that doesn't build up, anything that doesn't encourage, anything that doesn't strengthen, for me is gossip. If we're talking about someone and we're saying, hey, we're praying for them, they're doing much better, and you build them up and you help them to rise above their situation, for me, that's not gossip. You're building them up. You're strengthening them, encouraging them. And so we need to be careful about how we speak about people. I want to say to you, I want to take it one step further even. You look great there, Vaughn. That baby's got a high altitude problem there. When you pick a baby up, they always stop crying. And I've said to my wife, it's got to do with the altitude. If you increase the altitude, they do okay. So that's why she's like in La La Land there. Yeah? Micah. Oh, sorry. I was just testing. You guys all got it right, eh? But if you lend your ear to gossip, if somebody comes to you with a bad report about somebody and you allow them to speak to you, I want you to actually go back to them and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry that I listened to what you had to say. What you had to say was gossip. And so for Patty and I, our thing when people come to us with a story is we'll tell them, okay, we're giving you 3 days, 4 days, and I want you to go to that person and I want you to tell them. If you haven't done that, we're going to go with you to that person. Folk, the devil uses gossip, takes us outside of our boundaries that keep us safe, that give us a spacious inheritance. They take us outside of our boundary and we find ourselves in a dangerous place. So funny using this mark today. Next thing is disobedience. You know, when God speaks to you, whether it's through a person, through the word, however, through an animal, like Balaam and the donkey. I told you the story about my dog. I used to sit by my dog and I used to say to him, what have you got to tell me? But I used to make sure there was no one around to see me doing it. And I expected that dog to open his mouth and talk. Don't you? But disobedience, guys, is when it's the opposite of obedience. Disobedience is not a good place to be. It's not a good boundary line to step over. I choose to disobey. Because you have a choice that's put in front of you. You can either obey or you can disobey. It's amazing. Reader's Digest, many years ago. Do they still have Reader's Digest? No, I don't know. Anyway, Patty's father used to get the Reader's Digest every month, and he didn't read it, so I used to read it. I enjoyed all the information and the news that was going on. And they did a study on some children. They put a fence around these children, and they all played in this little place. And then they took the fence away. And the children all stayed together playing in that small little place. So that's not a spacious inheritance. God has got a spacious inheritance for us. But there are boundaries. I want you to get that in your head this morning. There are boundaries when you're about to do something. When you're about to participate in something. You need to ask yourself the question, is this part of my inheritance or is this outside of my boundary lines? When you're about to say something, because when I was younger, I used to say a lot of foolish things. I used to tell people my tongue is my weapon and I can hurt people with my tongue. And I used to. Shame, my poor wife was normally at the end of my tongue. And she would just sit there. And when you've got the microphone, you normally got the power. Power. And so, we need to be careful about how we speak and what we say. Because you know what, guys? I was foolish because when I said something that was not right, I could have there lost my... And you know what? Once you lose it, you can come back, but it's really difficult. It actually speaks in the Word about your heart becoming calloused and hard and moving away, not hearing, not perceiving. Fear. Fear will stop you from having a spacious inheritance. God wants you to go out there. God wants you to enjoy what He has given you to enjoy. And He's given us so much. I don't know if you like me, but I love nature and animals and birds. And often when I'm looking at them and experiencing the scenery, I will hear God speaking to me. Often. I've got this little wagtail at home. I told you guys all about the frog. I've got this little wagtail that every year it comes and builds a nest and has a baby, and then it flies away, and then it comes, then the mother wagtail's there, or father, I'm not sure which one. But this thing has got so tame. It's I can almost feed it from my hand now. And my granddaughter, she desperately wants to feed this wagtail. But she's so that the thing won't come near her. And she says, I don't believe you, Gumpy. That thing's not tame. But it's almost like I felt God saying to me, if you will trust me, you can eat from my hand. If you will trust me, you can eat from my hand. This morning, are you trusting God that you can eat from His hand? Are you trusting? We can't live in fear. We've got to live in trust. I was on a guy's apostolic team by the name of Dudley Daniels. And I said to Patty the other day, and I've said it for many years, there's only two people that I'm afraid of. That's God and Dudley Daniels. Because he would look at you and he would just know exactly where you're at and what you're thinking. It was unbelievable. He was an apostolic man, but he had such a strong prophetic edge to him. And he wasn't all lovey-dovey either. He had his liver packed up, and he had a liver transplant. And so he believed that God had told him, you need to get the job done. Because I don't know how many years, he didn't know how many years he had left. And so he would say to us, because we were his leadership team, he would say to us, listen guys, if you're going to get offended, or if you are too sensitive, you need to leave now. Because I am going to offend you. I am going to get you into a place that you're unhappy. But if you're prepared to take what I have for you, you will touch the nations. And I can honestly say, in Africa, Patty and I, and on myself, on my own sometimes, we touched most of Africa, most of the countries in Africa. Somebody was asking me the other day, so what would you consider your most dangerous trip into Africa? Who ya knows about Liberia? Liberia had a guy called James Taylor. And at that time, they had this whole war going on. Oh, Charles. Okay, Charles Taylor, sorry. I was just checking again. Is he a singer? Charles Taylor was a dictator, and he was controlling the blood diamonds in that area. And so we were going in to go and minister in the lives of the churches in Liberia. And so we went in, and the first thing that happened was, at the border post where we stepped off the aeroplane, my friend, Craig Clark, he had an emergency passport, and that was a big mistake for starters. It drew attention to him. And I didn't know where Craig was. I was thinking, where are you, Craig? Where are you? And I walked around, and they had him kneeling on his knees and an AK-47 in his mouth. And they were saying to him, this is not a proper passport. Well, he couldn't even talk. I saw this, and I thought, oh, no. And then as you take your bags through their customs, they open every single bag. And I knew that my bag was full of Daddy Daniel's manuals. And it was like they opened it, but it was almost like they didn't see it. I thought, wow, that is God. But then as we drove from the airport to the capital, every kilometer they had a roadblock where the defense force of that place, of Liberia, they would stop you and search the car and ask you, what have you got for me? In other words, what are you going to bribe me with? And so by the time we got to that side, we had distributed a whole lot of Daddy's manuals. And then we stayed in this place. There's no electricity. There's no water. And they would switch on the water for an hour every day. It was terrible. We had rats falling out of the ceiling. We went for a drive to go and see this nursery school where they met as a church. It was the most terrible trip I've ever taken in my life. We were driving on the wrong side of the road for most of the time. It was not good. But I tell you, I had lots of fear that day. But it wasn't of a man. It was of the situation. It was terrible. And then we heard that the last missionaries that had been there, at 60 Ks between this place and the airport, the last missionaries that had been there, they marched from this place to the airport in their underwear and no shoes. So I thought, oh no. They tell me this when they get there. You wonder, why do you do that? Why do you go there? And you should have seen the hunger in those pastors and what they wanted to learn. And they were like sponges. They just drank up everything that we had to say to them. We can't let fear cause us not to have our inheritance. Psalm 2:8 says, give me the nations, my inheritance. Folk, we need to know that the nations are our inheritance. Lies. One thing that I've always hated is lies. Even before I got saved. And my father was the most terrible liar that you've ever... He lived in another world. And so I grew up with all these lies going on around me. Sometimes you don't know what's true and what's not true. And then I got saved, and one of the first things I felt God say to me is that the devil is the father of lies. Folk, I don't want the devil as my father. I want God as my father. And so my children grew up getting away with some things, but never getting away with lying.
Heilige Kingdom.
And so my boys grew up. They didn't lie. And when they did, I normally caught them out. Most children think their parents are like God because they always catch them out. Do you think so, Amy? Most children or children in the house, they think their parents are foolish. I was going to say stupid, but my granddaughter, if I use the word stupid, she's, don't use that ugly word, Gumpy. So foolish is okay. Most people think, I'll just tell a lie and then I'll get away with what happened. Folk, you know what? On that last day when we stand in front of God, we will have forgotten about the lie. And then God will say, okay, we're going to do a video now. And the video comes up. And then as they start to play it, you start to remember these things that you never repented of because you lied and you thought you got away with it. You don't want that. You don't want that. For me, that's such a scary thought. I will not, if I find myself, and I don't lie, but sometimes you don't tell the full truth because you don't want anyone to know what you've, the truth of the matter. And so I've had to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I did that. I've had to go to people and say, I'm sorry that I didn't tell you the full truth there. Guys, lying is very easy to slip into. It's so easy. At work, something goes wrong, you cover it up with a lie. The next time something goes wrong, you cover that up with a lie. And so we find ourselves with a lie getting bigger and bigger to cover up the initial small lie. I want to encourage you, if you've lied to someone, the consequence of lying is having to tell the person that you lied to the truth. That's a consequence. Don't lie. Keep short accounts. If somebody says something that you hear about, go to them immediately. Say, what's this I heard about? Is there truth in what I'm hearing that you said? You need to know that God knows everything. If children think their parents know everything, I want to say to you today, God knows everything. The next time you're thinking of lying, just get this picture of someone looking over your shoulder. Acts 28 and verse 26. This scripture is first spoken in Isaiah verse 6, chapter 6. Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I will heal them. Folk, when we stop hearing God, when we stop seeing God, when we stop understanding God, our hearts begin to become calloused. And when your heart becomes calloused, you're going into a very bad space. You won't be hearing anymore. And so that scripture that we started with, Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. When you cannot hear, your heart starts to become calloused. If you cannot see, your heart starts to become calloused. Maybe you're here this morning and your heart has started to become calloused. Maybe your heart has hardened in certain areas. And this morning, I want to encourage you as we break bread that we're going to ask God to change our hearts. This morning, those boundary lines that I spoke about, so many of you have got things that I have not even mentioned. The way you speak to your children, the way you parent your children, the way you speak to your wife, the way you speak to others, the way you speak to your work colleagues. Because we carry the example that Christ wants us to carry. And so this morning, I want us to, maybe if we can just bow our heads where we are, and the worship group can come up.